Good morning, everyone. I had to Google this, okay, earlier on. So to all our English people in the room, it's coming home. Or to our Spanish friends, está llegando a casa. Apologies for that really brazen bad Spanish there. I never learned that at school. So, but yes, great to be with you this morning as we continue our series on More Than Words. A big thank you to our kids volunteers who get to take a break over the summer. I know my kids are in the service this morning. So parents with kids here this morning, fair play to you. We'll be done at 2 p.m. Today, we're going to continue that study on Hebrew words. And we had Richard start our series 2 weeks ago as he talked about the shalom, the peace of God. And then Andrew shared last week about the righteousness and justice of God. And today we're going to continue to look at a Hebrew word that whenever it's translated, no single translation is used for this word in scriptures. And that word is hesed. Hesed appears nearly 250 times in the Old Testament. 127 of those appearances are in the Psalms, and 26 of them are in Psalm 136 alone. Hesed is used a lot because it's an important word. It's a word rich in meaning that we often, so rich in meaning that we often miss the weight of it when it's translated. It is so much range. When God saves Abraham's nephew Lot from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot says to him, "Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life." Hesed is great kindness. Then when Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac, his servant goes to the place where Abraham has sent him, and his servant prays, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham," he prayed, "give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham." Hesed is unfailing love. When God reveals his instructions to Moses for how man is to follow him, he tells him that he is unswervingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Hesed is unswervingly loyal. When Joshua's spies are going through the promised land and they encounter a prostitute who believes that God has already given the land to the people of Israel, that prostitute, Rahab, asks the spies to look after her and her family. And she says this, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you." Hesed is kindness. When David's looking back on his life, remembering all the ways in which God has delivered him from his enemies, he says of God, "With the loving and loyal, you show yourselves loving and loyal. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless." Hesed is loving and loyal. And when David's son, many years later, gathers the people to, you know, welcome the build of the long-anticipated temple of God, the crowds are gathered and they're caught up in this moment of spontaneous worship to God. And they say this, "For he is good and his steadfast love endures forever." Hesed, steadfast love. It's not just Abraham, David, or Solomon that speak of Hesed. The prophets speak of Hesed too. When the prophet of Hosea is calling the people of God to repentance, he reminds them that God desires mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Hesed is mercy. And when the prophet Micah thinks about the sin of the people, the depths of how far they've fallen and what sacrifices are needed to atone for the sin, he calls them to God as follows. "He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord really wants from you. He wants you to carry out justice, to love faithfulness, and to live obediently before your God." Hesed is faithfulness, great kindness, unfailing love, unswervingly loyal, kindness, loving and loyal, steadfast love, mercy, faithfulness. This is only a glimpse into the depth of meaning of the word hesed. How fantastic is it that one word cannot be contained by a single translation? And it's not only that, but the writers of the scriptures also use other concepts alongside chesed to help us understand its depth of meaning. It becomes like a magnet in that effect. It draws other ideas, it draws other themes to itself. When David thinks about the faithfulness of God, he says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Chesed draws goodness. Loving kindness draws goodness, tov. Or when David declares his trust in God, he calls out to God, "Remember, O Lord, your tender compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been of old." Chesed draws compassion to loving kindness. When Ethan the Ezrahite considers the greatness of God, he says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants." Chesed walks beside truth. Goodness, compassion, truth, justice. These are only a few of the ideas that the writers of the scriptures use alongside chesed to help us give understanding to its meaning. Chesed is so rich in depth meaning that it can't be contained by a single translation, and it's so broad that it has to draw other themes to itself. And I think the reason that it is so broad and deep in meaning is that it draws ourselves to a God who cannot be contained by human thinking and who is so much bigger and wonderful and loving than we could ever ask or dream or imagine. It's a big concept because it's a reflection of who he is. It's an attempt to describe the indescribable. One rabbi says this: "Chesed is not only the most important theme of the Torah, it's the theme of everything. All of Torah and of creation flows from the value of chesed." Have you ever had moments in your life when you've been totally in awe of God? They have a feeling of breathless wonder. There have been so many times in my life when I've been in this church worshiping God and I've encountered his presence, and I'm caught between the beauty and the majesty of God and the reality of who I am with all my faults and failures, and I am just undone. I'm weeping that God would love me, that he would really love me. It's overwhelming and intimate at the same time. God loves me with an unending love. It's those moments that give us an insight into the indescribable. And they help us understand that concepts like chesed cannot be contained by human thinking. When Moses first receives the commandments, he comes down from Mount Sinai and finds the Israelites involved in the most hideous of acts. They've created other gods from metal that Aaron has made from them, and they're worshiping those gods. And he is so angry at Aaron, he is fuming at the people, and he throws down the tablets to the ground and they smash to pieces. Moses cannot believe how quick it was for the people of God to forget the promises of God. But God in his mercy is willing to give them a second chance. Why don't we read together? If you've got your Bible with us, why don't we read from Exodus chapter 34? Exodus 34. If you've got your phones, Bibles, let's join together. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain.' So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first one and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, 'The Lord.' And he passed in front of him, Moses proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, chesed, and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parent to the third and fourth generation.'" God reveals himself to Moses in a new way. It doesn't matter that God has already revealed himself to Moses at a burning bush or in Mount Sinai or through the cleft of a rock. It's this moment, this encounter with God, that will have profound implications for Moses' life, because it's a revelation of who God is. Moments of revelation of God can have a profound impact. Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to thousands, generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. And in that moment, Moses is overcome. It says he throws himself to the ground and worshiped God. What else can you do when God reveals himself to you? What else would you do? You'd be floored. And in that moment, Moses says this to God. Oh Lord, if it's true that I've found favor with you, then please travel with us. Yes, this is a stubborn and rebellious people, but please forgive our iniquity and our sins. Claim us as your special possession. Moses is on the ground at worship, begging God to go with him, to forgive their sins and claim Israel as his treasured people, because it's the revelation of God that forms the basis of Moses' hope that God will answer his prayers. He can ask God to be with them because he's the God of compassion and mercy. You can ask God to be with you because he's the God of compassion and mercy. He can plead with them for mercy because Yahweh forgives sins. You can plead for mercy because God forgives sins. Moses could worship the Lord because of his unfailing love and faithfulness. We can worship the Lord because of his unfailing love and faithfulness. Moses knows he has no right to expect anything of God. He knows how far the people have fallen short of the lifestyle that God has called them to, but he knows that it's not about the quality of their prayers or how great their sacrifices were or how wonderful they followed their rules, but rather it's about the very character of God, the God of Hesed. And Hesed becomes the standard to which they can appeal. One writer says this: Hesed is the standard by which we can appeal. God invites us to expect more from him than we have a right to deserve. The revelation of God's character of Hesed has shifted Moses' posture towards God and towards what he can expect to receive him. He's walked with him from the burning bush through to the first Passover and Exodus from Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, food coming down from heaven, water from a rock, and deliverance from many enemies, and yet he hasn't fully grasped who God is. And it's only this revelation, it's only this moment that he can now ask God to claim Israel as their special possession. He can petition God to be that intimate with his people, because he finally understands Hesed. He finally understands God. And it's this revelation, this encounter, that we can use to help build our own understanding of Hesed and help shape our views of the God who is by very nature Hesed. It gives us a framework for understanding God, something that we can hang our hat on. When we looked at the book of Ruth a number of months ago, we developed a phrase that would help us understand the meaning of Hesed, and we said that it was this: when the person from whom I have the right to expect nothing gives me everything. When the person from whom I have the right to expect nothing gives me everything. What right do I have to expect anything of God? What have I ever done that's good enough for his love? The answer is nothing. There's nothing that I've done to deserve his grace, and yet I find myself on a daily basis as being an unlikely recipient of his grace and mercy and kindness simply because it's who he is. It's his grace, not my worthiness. And so I can receive Hesed. I can receive chesed because he's the author of chesed. I can receive mercy and grace and love and faithfulness and unswervingly loyal and steadfast love and hope and kindness and devotion, not because of me, but because of him. It's who he is. It's his chesed. And I'm simply a recipient of it. So I want to join with that prayer of Charlotte earlier on. In the midst of whatever you might be facing right now, anxiety, self-doubt, joy, celebration, depression, financial worries, challenging circumstances, I want us to join to appeal to the God of chesed and be confident in his response towards you because it's who he is. His loving kindness is the standard by which we can appeal. His character, his love, I want us to run towards that, to lean into it. I want us to receive chesed. So before we move on, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for 1 second. We're going to bring our requests to God. We're going to appeal to his loving kindness in spite of who we are. We're going to ask God to intervene in the circumstances where only he can do the breakthrough. Prayer for healing, freedom from depression, restoration of a relationship. I have a real sense that God wants to restore relationships between fathers and sons today. Whatever it is, I want you to present your request towards the God who is loving kindness. In a sense, when I was praying earlier on about God revealing himself to Elijah, and when he reveals himself to Elijah, it's in a moment of silence. So in this moment of silence, may you present your request to the God of loving kindness, and may you find him always present. In this moment, may you find him already at work. God, thank you that you are loving kindness, that you are steadfast love, that you're unswervingly loyal, that you're devoted to us. We leave our requests with you now. Amen. A couple of weeks ago in church, we were looking at a series on identity and what it meant to be made in the image of God. Because we learned that we were reminded we were made into that image and that the image of God is good. What the Hebrew writer would call tov. So we were reminded of the goodness of God and that goodness being made in our image. And as his image bearers, we're called to community and to each other because God is in his very nature, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a communal God, calling us to be a communal people. And if we want to be a good reflection of his likeness, his character, then we constantly have to be reformed into that image. So today we've been talking about the God of chesed, the God of loving kindness, but we've been focusing on who he is and the aspects of his character and how we can properly posture ourselves and our prayers before him. But would we only half the story if we just left it there and we didn't consider that because he is the God of chesed that we need to be made into that same image. We need to become chesed. And once we become chesed, it has profound implications for our society as a whole. as his image bearers, it's not enough for us to have received everything from God when we have a right to expect nothing from him. We have to be willing to offer ourselves to the world around us. We need to love. A couple of weeks ago, Suzanne and I were out one Saturday morning on a sneaky wee 30-minute date between kid drop-offs and pick-ups, and we managed to get ourselves down to have a cup of coffee in a deli coffee bar in Ballyhackamore. And when we walked in, we bumped into a guy from this church who we hadn't seen in a long time, and he came over to our table. We had a lovely conversation. It was great to catch up with him, hear how he was doing, and then after a few minutes, he wandered back to his table and we continued on our lovely wee momentary date, which was just great. And say 10 minutes passed and he came back to our table and he put on our table in front of us the most huge, wonderful looking lump of fresh cheese that he'd just bought from the counter as a gift for us. Isn't that lovely? See that one simple act? That spontaneous moment of kindness. It reminded me about the importance of posturing ourselves as practitioners, not people who just simply know something about something. We need to be kind. See, for Niall that day, Niall knew what loving kindness meant because he was willing to offer it to somebody else. That's how we know, when we're offering it to somebody else. This is the point where we need to lean in. Knowing a few interesting facts about Hesed or how many times it's quoted in the New Old Testament or how many times you can find it in Psalm 136 is only so much use if we don't practice it. We need to lean in. We need to be the people who practice Hesed, and in doing so, we get to play our part in the healing effect of Hesed to the world. Michael Card, the Christian worship leader, has a wonderful book on Hesed. I encourage you to check it out. And in it, he says this: once a relationship or covenant of Hesed is established, there's an unspoken mutuality. The one who was initially shown Hesed naturally demonstrates Hesed in return. This isn't a legal expectation. There's no covenant sanctions attached to it. Rather, an expectation based on hope is on show. To receive Hesed and not return it leaves the initial party deeply disappointed, be it an individual or God himself. God's offered us everything. He's given us Jesus in our place, and his hope is that we return that same love, that same kindness to others. We are carriers of our Hesed to the broken and the dropouts, the disappointed and the depressed. We're carriers of hope to the drug addicts, to the faithful, to the faithless. We are carriers of Hesed. This is what we need to become. We need to ask ourselves carefully whether we're withholding with Hesed from other people. As Gibbo said last week, it's difficult to unsee something once you've seen it. So I want to ask a few questions. Where have we let our prejudices stop us from being kind? Where have we let past rejections stop us from showing mercy? Where have we let hurt withhold compassion or cultural baggage get in the way of generosity? We all have areas in our lives where we still need to be formed into the likeness of Christ. We all have shadows where we're consciously or subconsciously withholding loving kindness from others. The truth is we need the Holy Spirit, and we actually need each other to help us see our blind spots and be transformed into his likeness so that we can offer loving kindness to everyone. We need a revelation of God like Moses had on Mount Sinai, to help us see where transformation is still needed in our lives. So how would you respond today if a member of a political party walked in that you didn't agree with and sat beside you in church? How would you feel? Or how would you feel if a transgender person came in and asked for your help? What would you do? Or how would you respond if a Russian sat beside you, or an Israeli, or a person from Gaza or Ukraine? How would you respond? How do we still need to change? The whole point is that we have to become chesed to the world around us. It's a two-way transaction. We appeal to the loving kindness of God, and we become the loving kindness of God for others. This is where we need God. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. It's a major step in our discipleship journey. We need to turn head knowledge into heart knowledge, into everyday practice. We need to become chesed. We need to allow God to still reveal things to us like he did to Moses. Moses was 80 years old when he started, and he still had things to reveal to him 40 years later. We still have new things to be revealed. We can't live in the comfort of past revelations. We can't live as a church in the comfort of past revelations. We need to be open to God showing us more of him and his character and his beauty and his love and his devotion so that we can become the things and the people that he wants us to be in the circumstances he's called us to. If chesed can't be contained by a single translation, it's because God is bigger than we will ever ask or dream or imagine, and he's formed us into that image. So you and I can be carriers of chesed. He has more to show us. So I want to ask you some more questions. How well are you showing loving kindness today? And when I say that, who does God draw to your mind? Who immediately do you think of when I say the words loving kindness? Who's your first thought? Are you giving it or withholding it? And it's not meant to be a guilt trip. It's meant to be a moment of honest reflection where we allow the Holy Spirit to test our thoughts and our hearts. Because if we allow our hearts to do it, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. So if we let our hearts do the searching, we'll get it wrong. We need the Holy Spirit to do the searching. We have a God from whom we have the right to expect nothing, and he gives us everything. And he calls us to do the same for others, whether they deserve it or not. We need him to tell us where we still need to change, and we need his help to show that same loving kindness to others. We need to become chesed. We need to become chesed in the same way that we need to become peace, and we need to be carriers of his righteousness and justice. This is how we'll know if we're made in his likeness, when these things become part of our everyday habit. It's not head knowledge. It's how we live our lives. It's the communities we find ourselves in. It's the streets. It's the townhouses. It's the buildings. It's the people beside us. They will know when they see us practicing loving kindness and devotion and loyalty and steadfast love. I've got a long way to go. So I don't sit here and say this as a person who's got it all figured out. I'm on a journey. But this is why we need each other. I need people like Bobby to say to me, come on. I need to be encouraged by an Iris. We need each other. We need each other in this journey. Because we collectively, you and I, need to become the loving kindness of God. Chris and Louise, why don't you come up? I'm going to ask us all to stand. So close your eyes. Holy Spirit, you do the searching. You test us. You purify us. God, we ask you to show us where we still need to change. Bring to our mind people right now who we need to show loving kindness to. Holy Spirit, you do that. Holy Spirit, come. Search us and know us, God. See if there is any anxious thought within us.